But is English innately more playful than any other languages? Only in England, you might think, would an Oxford College, St Catherine's, make this appointment.
St Catherine's College, Oxford, made me their enigmatist. There's never been a post like it in history. I'm the first one in the world. It's unpaid, unfortunately. I was asked this question by the Duke of Edinburgh, and he snorted as if to say it was not worth doing. But it's honorific, and I like it.
As part of your role, you've created a time capsule, is that right?
Well, I didn't create the capsule. I was summoned by the master, and I was shown these mystery objects. My job is to issue clues, so it has to be mantic and complicated. So it's a bit like the Delphic Oracle. I have to say mantic things twice a year. Which
mantic and gnomic.
Yes, which suits me fine. But, of course, there is the nightmare that only two people in the world know what's in there, or indeed where it is. And I had this nightmare, recurrent nightmare, where I'm driving into the college too fast, the master's driving out too fast, and we both eliminate each other, and it'll be completely forgotten.
That's
a responsibility.
In a way, it's a test of the college's right to exist. Will it, in future generations, have people bright enough to work out somehow what you've done?
Well, people do have a head start, after all, and they know it can't be a cheese. That would be a joke too far.
But bad jokes, puns, word games, acrostics, puzzles, cryptic crosswords, board games, acting games, they seem very, very English somehow, don't they? So does our language lend itself in particular to word games?
The amount of words there are in the language and the richness of them and the shades of meaning, the way that some words are only very slightly different from another and yet the meaning seems to be a chasm apart. We'd all like to think that English innately lends itself particularly well to word games. Linguists will tell you that's not true probably, but that's my feeling.
Juliet Gardner, social historian and word game fan, who'll help us with word games 20th century history. And we will have a linguist to examine whether our language is, by nature, game for a game. We'll also ask, do we divide into word gamers and number crunchers? Sudoku versus Sudoku, so to speak. Here's Phil Jupitus, backstage at a professional word game.
I like doing both. I like doing them back to back. Lots of people do, and I think that is why the newspapers put the Sudoku, please. Any Japanese listening, help us out on this pronunciation because we are a divided organisation here at the Comedy Store Players. Sudoku, Sudoku, let's call the whole thing off. But Sudoku's, you know, a logic puzzle, and then you massage a different part of your brain, you massage the word part. I think it's just a way of massaging the left and right side of the brain.
Phil Jupitus's brains speaking there. And while we're at the Comedy Store, we'll see how games enjoy a teasingly delightful relationship with improvised comedy.
We are in a tradition of English, British word games. But you're going to hear later a particularly obvious word game in that you're only allowed to say one word at a time. So that really is a word game. So you'll have to leap into a whole new universe because you heard cheese and that makes you think of Bromley.
Neil Malarkey, also of the Comedy Store Players, on the relationship between word games and improvisation, cheese and Bromley. Cheese does seem to be emerging as a theme, but in terms of our puzzles, it's a red herring. Later, another cheese association word-based game.
Sheila, Fazzini.
It must be a font. There can't be a cheese called Fazzini.
I'm thinking it's an Italian singer.
Brand new cheese or font. Now, nobody said this was going to be easy. All cheesy. Alongside the analysis, there will be more challenges.